In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Well, thank you for joining us this morning for the Word for Life broadcast brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. My name's Pastor Ken. I'm the pastor of Brookside, and I'm happy to have in studio with me again Jack Gardner. And Jack, good morning. Trust that you're doing well today.
Good morning, Pastor Ken.
Yeah. Well, we have really enjoyed our study here in Joshua. We're going to continue it today. But first, let me make an announcement a little bit to you that if you're looking for a church family, we'd love to have you come over and visit us at Brookside Baptist Church. We're located 4470 Pilgrim Road in Brookfield. And this Sunday, July 3rd, we have one service, outdoor service, at 10:15. And that's followed by a picnic and games and activities and food. And so we'd love to have you come if you don't have a church home. And this Sunday also, the message will be when the minority is a majority. We'll be looking at 2 Kings chapter 6 and the story with the prophet Elisha. July 10th, let me encourage you, John and Jamie Zimmer are longtime missionaries. He was youth pastor here at Brookside for many years. He and Jamie and their whole family will be here the entire day, and we get to pick up on what God's doing in their life. You know, Jack, they've been in Palau. We've taken some of our teens over there to Palau for missions trips, and it's in the South Pacific. I think they've been there over 10, 11 years now, and God's been using them. Nice church going, and you know, John's known all across the island. In fact, everybody I talk to, they go, "Oh, John, yeah, I know John, John,
very well
John.
Known."
Yeah. And whenever we show up, last time we were there, we ended up seeing the former president of Palau, who I talked to him about some radio broadcasts we had here in the States. He goes, "Well, I want my brother who owns a TV station to know what's going on in America." And so I told John, I said, "Hey, man, I got us on TV." He goes, "Man alive, you come over here and you give me all this work, you know?"
yes, in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, so God's been doing a great work. So we'll have a great time with them there on the 10th, and trust that you can be able to come.
He's an amazing guy. They're an amazing family. And a lot of great stories, too, out of there. What's Palau like? You've been there.
Yeah, I've been to Palau. Palau is a tropical island. It's hot. There is both extremes of those who have a lot of money and those who have not much money at all, poverty. It is a place that obviously needs the Lord. I know the Chinese have really moved into building a lot there on the island of Palau. But people are very receptive, and, you know, we took a basketball team over there from our church in 2010 to get their national team ready for the Micronesian Games. That's kind of like their Olympics. And we saw some guys save. We ran some basketball camps, and that worked out really well. And, you know, but John first got over there when he was just scouting out to see about the ministry. And we'll try to get him on the radio when he's here. But I'll have him tell that story about when these guys really wanted to take him spearfishing at night, and he didn't know any of these guys, but he thought, hey, great opportunity, and I don't want to blow the story for him, but basically those guys really were planning to just have him washed out to sea, and God preserved his life through that whole thing.
Right, well, they were intending him to go out. God had other plans.
He came back, and he actually got to see those guys, and he said they about all turned white because they were shocked that he was still alive, but that really goes back to, Jack, what we've been studying in Joshua. I mean, there's some, as we've been making our way through some principles here in the life of Joshua, I think a few principles we can learn about the preparation really for his leadership is, if you remember, it had taken some time. He was Moses's understudy for, you know, Moses was there for 40 years, and Joshua was studying under him. Again, Joshua was one of the two spies that came back with a good report of God's going to give us the land. But it took time for God to work there in Joshua's life under Moses' leadership, just like it takes time for God to work in our lives. I mean, it's not like God just puts us in this incredible place of leadership, just boom, boom. There's the work of the Spirit of God to, again, develop us and work. And then I think, too, Jack, as Christian men, we must realize there's this unique balance between our dependence upon God and our confidence in our flesh.
Hmm.
Joshua didn't have a lot. You know, he over and over, I think four times in the first chapter, God says, hey, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're going to get into that principle here in a minute. I thought, too, in his preparation, the application to my own life, Jack, is we must begin to serve God now in order to be prepared for any future responsibility that God wants to give us. You know, we have missionaries that will be here for our missions conference, Brian and Victoria Rice. Brian and Victoria were very active in our church back in Colorado, and they were so involved in evangelistic outreach. They wanted to train people to know how to share the gospel. They went on a missions trip to Sri Lanka with us, which was probably one of the more dangerous mission trips that I've been on. We actually had our 18-year-old translator arrested for supposedly us paying him $25 a head to get kids to come to a Saturday morning Bible club that he rented a van himself to have the kids picked up after their parents gave permission. And we were in a Hindu house that was the church, and the Hindu landowner of the church said, hey, look, want to make sure that you don't put up the name of the church. People are going to come to this church because they're invited here. The day we were there with this Bible club going on, the Kathy and some of the ladies and the daughters of our missionary there were running this. Probably had about 60 kids out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we took kids. Some of the boys went to learn how to play basketball, and we took them over to a basketball court and we're playing. And Jack, I got to tell you, it's the roughest basketball I've ever played.
Just really physical?
Physical. I mean, you would be taken down in midair onto the asphalt.
So there's really no such thing as fouls.
Well, I tried to explain that to him. Even in the NBA, that would be called a foul. You know
what's bad when you say, I tried to explain that to him. You know you're in trouble.
Yeah, there was, let's say it was one of the bloodiest basketball games I've ever been in. But,
wow.
But then, Shankar, the young man who, was our translator that had gone out and, you know, he was really wanting to learn how to play basketball. And I mean, it's 98 degrees out there, humidity high, in the hot sun. I just wanted some more Gatorade, you know, and we're walking off the court, and here comes Shankar. I go, Shankar, where you been? He goes, Pastor Key and I went to pick up kids in band, and they're safely at church at the Bible club. I now come to play basketball. I said, Shankar, I'll tell you what. Where I'm from, most people would say, forget the kids, let's go play ball. You said, forget ball. Even though you wanted to play ball, go get the kids. And I said, we got more time to play. So we played. We went back to the house. And Brian was given the challenge. And right after he gave the challenge, missionary came around the corner and said, Ken, there's a mob out front, and they're going to storm the church, and we can't be here when that happens. I could be removed permanently from the island, and God's opened up doors for us to be here, and I've even set up a business to enhance the opportunity to be here with these people and to teach them the word. And and so we took off and got a call, and I'll tell you what, they let us know when we got to the house that the church was stormed by the mob, and many of the young people were beaten. They really beat Shankar up. The police got there. They arrested him. And Terry, the missionary, said, Ken, it's important that we stay here at the house today. There's a lot of news out there about the Americans that are here and stirring up trouble and so forth. And that night, Terry knocked on my door and said, I'm going to go see Shankar in jail. You want to go see him? I said, absolutely. And so, Jack, we went to the jail, and it's not like anything here in the States. I mean, we just walked in there, the cell was, and we walked right over the cell and to the jail cell, and there was probably 20 guys in that one cell. They couldn't even sit down. They all were standing. And in the back, there was Shankar, and I said, hey, Shankar, praying for you, but he's making his way up, and they kind of parted for him to get up there, and I put my hand in the cell and shaking his hand. I said, you're like a modern-day Joseph, a Daniel right now, you know, for us. And we got people in the States praying for you, Shankar. And Jack, I'll never forget. He goes, Pastor Ken, hold on. This is Igmud. Igmud, come. Igmud, I've been sharing with him how Jesus Christ can be his Savior and save him. And Igmud said, I never heard what Shankar tell me before. It's new to me.
Hmm.
I said, well, Igmud, you need to listen to him. And he's telling you what the Bible says. Well, about that time, Terry looked at me and said, Ken, get your hand out of the cell. Got my hand out, and got outside, and I go, what'd I do? He goes, ah, police probably think you had money in your hand that you're sneaking to him. And when we got home, the police called Terry, and they said, hey, your American friend, we thought for sure had contraband that he snuck to the prisoner, so we had to take the prisoner out. He was uncooperative. Well, this young man was about a 17, 18-year-old guy who had, I tell teenagers, he wouldn't light up a room if he came in. He wasn't strongly athletic or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a passion in his love for God. Cooperative, obedient guy. But they said he was uncooperative. The police beat him some more. And Jack, they put him in a concrete holding cell where they lowered him down into human waste up to his waist. And for 3 days, that's where he was. We also were told if we had church the next morning that they would bomb the church. Ever since I've been a kid, I've been told you got to go to church. And that day when we got up, Terry said there is a threat to bomb the church. So I'm not requiring anyone to go to church today if you don't. And just like with Joshua, fear wants to creep in.
Oh.
Is my faith going to be stronger than my fear? And with God, he has complete control. And we went to church that day. Shankar's dad taught Sunday school, led singing. Of course, his mother was distraught.
Mm-hmm.
But we got a lawyer. And 3 days later, when we were getting ready to leave the island, they said, hey, Shankar's been released. He'd love to say hello to you. And I go, man, I said, if we got to miss that flight, we'll do it. Mm-hmm. We want to see that boy. He's all cleaned up. And can you imagine? You know, we talk about God being good and the enemy in there telling him, hey, take a snip of that, see how good your God is.
Mm-hmm.
And he came bounding out of his house, put me in a little headlock, and he goes, Pastor Keene, God is good. God is good. And I tell you, Brian and Victoria
wow.
Rice, they were there for that. And he got back, and he goes, what am I doing here? And Brian and Victoria, and their family, they sold, he was an English teacher in the Denver area, sold everything. He's a great woodworker, could make his own furniture. They went to China. They were in China for about 18, 19 years. And now God sent them to Italy. And, you know, God takes us when we're doing something, and he moves us into another responsibility. And that's what you see with Joshua. Joshua was really Moses' understudy. And God had been preparing him, and he was faithful in what he was doing for Moses and for God,
mm-hmm.
and that God just moved him into the leadership. And we'll pick up a couple more conditions, really, for his success that God laid out for him there in Joshua chapter 1.
That's a remarkable story, and, you know, it almost reminds me of Paul in prison as well, and what he did while he was there, and the Lord orchestrating all that in which to make it happen.
Yeah.
So, amazing.
When the angel woke him up and said, hey, you're free to go.
Mm-hmm.
And he and Silas had been singing and praising the Lord all through that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't have to fear. In fact, Paul told Timothy, we haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound or a disciplined mind. Well, we thank you for joining us today, and got a little sidetracked there with how God prepares us for future responsibility.
Or maybe not.
Or maybe not. You have a great day, and thank you for joining us for the Word for Life broadcast.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.